After almost 6 months of indecision and tension, recounts and charges of fraud, Afghanistan has a new president.
Salam!
Just a little bit of the pomp and circumstance from this morning's ceremony in which Ashraf Ghani Ahmadzai, a former World Bank technocrat, was inaugurated. He'll share power with his former opponent, Abdullah Abdullah, in what's being called the first modern peaceful transfer of power in Afghanistan. But that news today was overshadowed by the announcement that the U.S. will sign a deal to keep 10,000 American troops in Afghanistan after the combat mission ends at the end of this year, when troops were supposed to leave. Kate Clark is a senior analyst with the Afghanistan Analyst Network, an independent nonprofit. She joins us from Kabul. And Kate, what more do we know about this announcement, this deal that will keep American troops in Afghanistan after year's end?
It's been on the cards for many months, Robin. Both presidential contenders, Ashraf Ghani, who's now the president, and his rival Abdullah, who's now the chief executive officer of the government, had promised that they would sign this agreement with America to keep American troops here and to keep the money and support coming for the Afghan security forces. Your listeners might remember that Hamid Karzai, the outgoing president, had absolutely refused to do this. And we understand that tomorrow President Ghani will sign the bilateral security agreement with America.
Well, we remember that in Iraq as well, the sticking point on keeping troops there, U.S. troops there, was that the Iraqi government would not agree to this status of forces agreement, which gives legal protection to American troops in foreign countries. So first of all, was that agreed to in the Afghanistan agreement?
Yes. It's all in the agreement.
Right.
Basically, the status of a forces agreement actually still holds, and it was actually signed by Dr. Abdullah when he was the foreign minister, right in the first Karzai government. That legal protection for American troops doesn't go away. But what the bilateral security agreement does is it makes it all sort of fresh and official. Afghanistan is facing a nasty insurgency that's not going away. And the most important thing is that it's actually not the American forces or even the American support. It's actually the money going to the soldiers and police on the ground. And the key thing that everyone was really worried about was that, you know, with all these horrible lengthy shenanigans over the elections, that America and NATO would finally give up on Afghanistan and walk away. And a state that's can't pay its army and police and facing an insurgency, it was feared was one that would not last long.
Yeah, they might have had an eye on Iraq as they agreed to this agreement, but now you have the newly inaugurated president, Ashraf Ghani Ahmadzai, sharing to some extent executive powers with his former opponent, Abdullah Abdullah. But today the president called on the Taliban to lay down their weapons and join the political process. Is he offering amnesty in that comment? Because at the same time, at least 12 civilians were killed in bombings. We know some Taliban more violent than others, and you talk about this insurgency.
Yeah, I think Ghani has been very clear about what he would like to see happen. He spoke today about the need for peace if Afghanistan is to be stable. And he also spoke about the need for the state to get cleaner and stronger in terms of judges stopping taking bribes, security forces stopping behaving illegally, the government itself behaving a lot better with the people. So I think there was a real call to try and strengthen the state. And part of that was a recognition that in some way the insurgency is also driven by bad government. So it was an acknowledgement that there are some reasonable reasons why people are fighting, as well as some unreasonable reasons, if you can describe it like that. And he did speak about, you know, the people who are killing our children and elders. So it wasn't that he was holding back on describing the violence, but he's also trying to lay out a pathway by which the armed opposition groups can come back in. And, you know, some people would say that if the Taliban were sensible, they would take this opportunity. The foreign forces are leaving, Hamid Karzai is going, it's a face-saving opportunity. If they wanted to, they could come back with their heads held high. But as you said, there were, again, nasty outrages today, violence, killing civilians and others. And that at least seemed to be the first response of the Taliban to the new government in Kabul.
And one last question, Kate Clark, there in Kabul. How much is ISIS shaping what's happening in Afghanistan?
I think the rise of ISIS has at least meant that the Obama administration does not want a nasty, failed Afghan state, and that it is still willing to support the government here and what's going on. So that played to Afghanistan's advantage, probably. At least on the ground, there are two issues. One, ISIS represents somehow an ideological rival to the Taliban. The Taliban is an Afghan force. It was set up as a domestic force trying to take over control in Kabul. But always it had international partners, chief among them, of course, Al-Qaeda. At the same time, the Taliban and ISIS are very, very different creatures. ISIS is an international jihadist front. It's got very, very internationalist ideas. It's far more violent than the Taliban. The Taliban still, despite its international networks, is almost entirely focused on Afghanistan and what goes on here. And I would say that for all the war crimes the Afghan Taliban have committed, there are still some red lines which ISIS has completely gone beyond. The fear is, I guess, here that you have ISIS with a lot of money. It may try and muscle in on the insurgency here. There may be copycat influences with insurgents here wanting to copy some of the more atrocious actions, such as beheading people. I think those are what people here are worried about. Up till now, the Afghan government has at least had a partner it could talk to. And the fear if the insurgency splits or fragments is that chance to talk even gets lost.
That's Kate Clark speaking to us from Kabul in Afghanistan. She's senior analyst with the independent nonprofit, the Afghanistan Analyst Network. Kate, thank you.
Thanks very much.